Evan.
Allison.
You know, I'm gonna say my toast, but before that, I'm just gonna run and do a couple push-ups real quick.
Oh yeah, go for it. Go ahead. One, two, three. One more. Come on. Nope. Okay, you can do three. That's fine.
Three. That's all we got.
Three, pretty good ones, I guess.
Michelle could do a lot better than me.
She could, but she was also a college athlete. You were not.
Close.
But you are a professional podcaster here on Batch Please.
That's correct.
Along with me, Evan Delaney.
And me, Allison Gunnell.
And welcome to our weekly recap of all things Bachelor Nation. And I think we would be probably remiss or misguided if we didn't start with a lot of the events that happened last week surrounding Rachel. Mm-hmm. Kirkconnell, I don't know how to pronounce
it. both ways.
And Chris Harrison, of course.
Yeah, so the kind of quick version, everyone probably pretty much knows what's the gist by now, but if you don't, the facts that we have right now are some posts and some things were uncovered that Rachel had, Rachel K. Has posted in the past, including a antebellum-themed plantation sorority party and some Confederate flag posts, and was not able to give a statement on the matter for a couple of days that ABC until they had to approve it. From what I understand, they had to approve.
I'm not really sure why it took as long as it did, but yeah, that could
from
be
what
case.
I understand, again, read a lot of things, but factually she came out, had a statement about the posts. And then Rachel Lindsay had also done an interview. I think it was right before that statement had come out with Chris Harrison, had asked his thoughts on it. And he had said some things to the extent of that basically not really acknowledging as big of a deal as it was. Kind of saying that it was through a 2018 lens. Is that really the same lens we look at things through 2021, in which Rachel had said, you know, it's never a good look. It's really something you should always think of. So with all of that being said, Chris Harrison had decided to, he also came out with a couple of different apology statements and then has decided to step away for a little bit, a temporary as of now stepping away, and will not be hosting the After the Final Rose in an effort to not overshadow Matt's love story and journey and season.
Yeah, and it should be noted that what Chris said was undoubtedly ignorant. It was not well stated, and to Rachel's point, there is no time, Rachel L's point, there is no time when any of that stuff was acceptable. I think it is good that he's taking some time away, not only to sort of shine a better light on, you know, Matt's story and the diversity in this season. And ultimately, though, it is not my place, it is not Allison's place to judge whether the apologies were effective, both on the Rachel K side or the Chris Harrison side.
Correct.
We were not the affected party. We need to be the ones who step aside, and whatever happens from this, we obviously hope that it happens for the best, that it that it progresses things in a forward direction.
And whatever that looks like and whatever decisions are made.
Yeah, the franchise, for all of that, because we want this to be an inclusive, I guess, show. I don't know what this is called.
Correct, yes. And to Evan's point, we aren't here to make judgments on anyone's statements, apologies. We're not here to cancel people. We're just...
Right, and I think there's a good delineation between, there's a lot of discourse going on right now between what is cancel culture and what is consequence culture.
Yeah.
This is something I think calls for consequence.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree.
Whether that is the complete removal of Chris from the show, whether it is a temporary dismissal, whatever it is, there needs to be a consequence.
And, versus canceling, which is what he's saying is the difference in the two kind of ways to handle things.
And again, it is neither of our positions to deem what is the appropriate consequence. That is the determination of the affected parties, and honestly, those people who have been hurt by all of this, and those are the ones we should be looking out for the most.
Yep, and you know, I always root for people to learn from their mistakes. I think that it's safe to say that at some point in life, everyone has probably said, posted, liked, tweeted, what have you, things that they regret, things that they might have learned from, grown from. So, you know, I like to think and hope that everyone learns from things and everyone is able to grow in a healthy way and present themselves differently and then, you know, in the future, not make those same mistakes. So,
yeah. So a weird pivot now.
So with that,
so we'll talk about the episode.
So with that, we're going to talk about the episode.
And I will say it was weird seeing Chris in there.
And Rachel. It was weird. The whole thing was weird because it was like, this happened before now, but like you're watching it live. So you're like, why aren't we talking about it? It's all weird.
And it honestly surprised me that they didn't carve out even like 30 seconds to a minute to have something to acknowledge it.
I kind of thought they would have before Chris said he was stepping down. I think stepping down is that he's not doing that. Like he stepped down. I think if he wouldn't have, maybe that would have been the situation. But again, I also do kind of feel in more than one way for Matt, because at the end of the day, the point of this season is a monumental season, having the first Black Bachelor, but also the fact that it is his love story and it's being incredibly overshadowed right now. And I hope that Matt still feels like his story is being told and being told well, and that he can still enjoy the journey and enjoy, we don't know who he picks and how it all shakes out, but I hope that he still feels that he's getting that, because I do feel like,
yeah, as long as it turns out for the best for him personally.
Yeah,
when it comes to like telling his journey, even if this stuff didn't happen, the show does a bad job of telling these stories.
Anyways, we'll get into all of that for sure. But it does kind of, which, and Chris even said this, like he doesn't want to be a cause to overshadowing Matt's love story. So
right.
I hope that the rest of the season unfolds and that Matt feels good about it, and that
everyone learns.
And everyone learns and grows, as we all can always learn and grow. There's always room for it.
And something I think that someone learned is that this show is not for them, and that would be Heather Martin.
That is not a very good segue, but we're going with it. So
it's like a bad mall cop. I've made that joke before, but I like to bring it back. It's a classic. Okay, so Heather, at the end of last week's episode, she dropped in pretty unannounced to the people who were, you know, the women who were there, to Matt. She obviously had to do the quarantine for 2 weeks or so. We don't really know if it was the entire time.
Correct.
But she showed up to get some time with Matt. So she interrupted Piper's, little sit down during the cocktail party. And is instantly like, you know, I just had to meet you. Hannah told me so much about you. You know, I'm not really throwing away the shot, to quote Hamilton.
Ah, nice.
I'm putting that in her mouth, not her.
She did not quote Hamilton. Yeah. Evan will always quote Hamilton.
And so it was really kind of her shooting her shot in a way, which when I look at it that way, like she was told that this person would be great for her and she's going out to grab it. I'm like, you know what? Good for her. At the same time,
I have a lot of feelings about this. Like, okay, at the same time, why didn't she just apply or try to get on the show when it began?
Well,
why did she wait so long? That's the first point. The second point is, again, it was the producers who chose to let her in and when they chose to let her in. Mm-hmm. For all we know, maybe she did reach out at the beginning and did not go through the application process and said, hey, can I join the season? And maybe they said, yeah, in a few weeks. I mean, we don't know.
Because I have a hard time believing that if she reached out in the beginning, they wouldn't have said no. Or they would have said no. I think they would have let her in. But I like your point that it was perhaps they're like, oh, okay, we'll let you in a little bit later.
Yes, because Heather has...
Because they knew it would stir drama.
Exactly. And Heather has been on the show before. So she knows, I think, better than to just be like, ooh, I know they've been filming for 6 weeks. Let me enter now. I would be willing to bet that she said something way earlier and that they said, yeah, you can come out here on this date and then quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, I bet it was more than just that.
Do you think that is what Dylan's point was, that they kind of did Heather wrong?
When did Dylan say this?
He was tweeting about it like 2 weeks ago in his little Twitter.
He tweeted about Heather?
Yeah, she was like, they totally did her wrong.
I don't recall seeing that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
He talked about Jed.
Yeah, but he also said to the point that like the way that the producers handled the Heather situation.
Well, if he did tweet about that, which they've all been deleted now, so you can't go back and find them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they probably made him take them down.
I bet they're screenshotted somewhere.
I'm sure they are. If that is what he said, then yes, I absolutely think that's what he meant by that. And I also think that, I don't know. Also, Hannah knows the show, having been a lead. I don't think she would tell her friend to go in 6 weeks into the show. Like, But okay, here's my other question. Do you honestly, honestly believe Matt and Heather have not so much as DM'd before? Because I do not.
I have a hard time believing that they have not.
There's no way. I mean, when she walked in...
Hannah would be a bad friend if she didn't say something before.
And if Hannah quarantined with him for months, you're telling me she never FaceTimed Heather while she was quarantining with Matt and they didn't say hello? Like, yeah. I don't believe that for one second, especially because if she was a total stranger Matt had never met, his reaction was pretty strong when she walked in.
He knew who she was instantly.
Immediately. And if that was just Hannah's friend, Heather, I don't think he would have reacted that strongly because not everyone watches every season and knows everyone.
Yeah.
He knew that was Hannah's friend. So yeah. I think that there's a lot of other stuff.
I also wonder if Heather was realistically thinking, oh, there's 1 week until hometowns. In real time, I guess, during when she was there, mm-hmm. that she could actually formulate a relationship that ended in an engagement. There's no way believed that. There's no way any rational person, besides maybe Claire, would believe that that's possible.
Quick pivot, Claire and Dale are apparently hanging out again in Florida.
Yeah.
So
big whoop, whatever.
We'll see what happens with that. Evan doesn't care.
What was a little unsurprising, but unfortunate to see still, was how mean some of the girls were. And predominantly, the meanest ones were Jasenia,
Serena C,
and Kit. Piper was upset. I think she had a legitimate beef only because she was the party that was wronged here.
Even still, she was a little harsh.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt more than I will the other three.
Yes, I agree. And I think like this season has really exposed some bullying that goes on and some girl against girl bullying. It's just so toxic and bad. And it makes there's several reasons why I wouldn't go on the show, but if I was watching this show this year and I was considering going on it, it would be enough to make me not apply.
Yeah.
Because I would not be able to handle that. As we all know, Evan knows, I am not someone who does well with people being upset with me or confrontation. I want to be friends with everyone all the time. I would be terrible at this.
You're too much of a people pleaser.
I would never make it unless I literally just stayed silent the whole time and just like didn't speak to anyone
you also wouldn't be able
to. Or defended everyone all the time. Like I just couldn't do it. And I mean, they were just mean and nasty. And like, I don't know. I felt bad for Heather with that.
And perhaps it was a good thing then for her sake that Matt sent her home.
Yeah, which I mean, I can't blame him in the sense that it was so late and he's already falling in love with other women that it's like bringing someone in new would be kind of a disservice to the women who have been there this whole time who he's developed strong relationships with. But you still feel bad for her a little bit. And then for Matt to come out and be like, I just want to applaud you all for how you handled the situation. And I'm like, oh, buddy, wait till you watch this.
Well, he didn't see it.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, wait till you watch how it was actually handled. You would be very disappointed.
I understand that it's a very stressful situation for them, though. Moments like these where I'm like just reminded that, A, Matt knows what's best for him. He's doing the right thing. Like, he's clearly a very, very good person. We've said it time and time again. He's just kind of boring for reality TV.
Yeah.
But actually,
I think that's because he's just a normal dude.
I think part of it is the way the show only shows a couple different things. We see the same line said by different people over and over and over again about loves and journey and, you know, opening up and all that stuff. We don't see them act as real humans. Like the moment you saw at the very end with Michelle and the bloopers, we should see a ton more of that because that shows way more of the personality. You get mm-hmm. more of the connections that way mm-hmm. than this manufactured, sort of shallow, just give and take between two people. It doesn't really show what a relationship building is like.
Well, and then there's a lot of people where like we're down by the end of the episode, we're down to four people. But even when it's still 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people left, you're like, how did so-and-so make it this far? It doesn't feel like they have a connection at all because they're not airing any of their actual time together. So, you know, you only see certain relationships actually blossom. You see the ones they want you to see. And I remember distinctly, this reminds me of when it was Ari's season of The Bachelor and his whole thing about how he like picked Becca and then changed his mind and picked Lauren and whatever. But there was another girl on his season, Kendall, who made it pretty far. I think she was like final 5 mm-hmm. or 4. I mean, she was pretty far. But I remember like never seeing them connect and being like confused on how she made it that far. And then I remember at the after the final rose, she was really emotional. seeing him come out on stage because she hadn't seen him since their breakup. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty bad breakup.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, why is she so upset? And I remember her saying in an interview, like, I hadn't seen him since we ended things and it hit me emotionally and I wasn't prepared for it. But they could have had way more of a relationship than any of us ever saw because they don't show it.
Yeah. And it's not even always showing it because I understand that some things are not as interesting as the others. But like, right. Show the realness to it. Show the raw
like you said,
parts.
Like Michelle at the end doing the push-ups. Like that was
funny.
I
never knew that she was a goof-ass like that.
And all the other, I mean, there's only three left at that time, but the other three like laughing and like cheering her on was like a rare moment of not bullying. And like the ones left aren't bullies and they're actually like developing friendships too.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that, especially this season. Usually we see at least some more friendships. But we haven't seen any of that.
Yeah. When we got to the rose ceremony, Chelsea and Serena C both left. Serena C was really convinced that her and Matt had this connection. It goes back to, I don't think I've seen them speak at all this year.
Not once.
Chelsea, you've definitely seen a little bit more. I think she got a group date rose at some point.
Yeah.
I just don't think there were many sparks there.
I agree. Chelsea will be just fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chelsea's a badass. Cool. She's so cool.
So that leaves us with, I believe, 7 or 8. I don't know how many with the Heather part.
I think that leaves us 7 people at this point in the episode.
But don't worry, we're chipping away more.
Oh, my God. I think more people went home this episode than ever, especially when you're down to that few. I had no idea Hometowns was already next week.
I didn't either. Because
at the end of the episode, at the beginning of the episode, they said Hometowns are soon. I'm like, how soon can they be? There's still, you know, 8 people left.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
So the first date following the rose ceremony was a one-on-one with Serena P.
Who's already had a one-on-one.
She's already had a one-on-one. You were not a fan of her getting another one-on-one.
Because I like things to be fair, and I just think it was sad that someone like Abigail, who had never had one, but Serena P got 2, and I feel like that's not giving a... I feel like if you already knew you don't want someone else to be there, then send them home versus making them sit there whilst they're the only person who's never had a date.
Yeah,
like, give them the date and see if it works, or send them home.
I wonder at this point if he is picking one-on-ones more so than producers, because I was surprised by how much he is into Serena P.
I feel like that was random.
Like, they had their charcuterie date earlier, and it was, like, cute and fine, but, like, I didn't see it going very far. Like, I don't think it went was going to go distance.
I felt that way about Piper, too. Like, they could have been interchangeable for me in how he felt about them. Like, I didn't think he felt that strongly for either of them.
I felt like he had a stronger physical connection with Piper.
That's probably true.
But... I was surprised by this. So their date was interesting in that...
It was very interesting.
That Serena P really didn't like it.
So it was tantric yoga, which is like a sexual yoga thing.
Which is the yoga I do every day.
Every day, yeah. So it was kind of strange. Serena P was very uncomfortable with it, which... I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, I never like any dates on the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's certain things that like... they should be allowed to talk about if they feel uncomfortable with before they're told they have to do it. Like, maybe it's at the beginning and they say, like, these are things that I don't feel comfortable with, or the producers give them example dates and they're allowed to say, like, absolutely not to this one. Because some people also have, like, past experiences or triggers or emotional situations where dates might make them uncomfortable. I'm not saying that was the case here.
Yeah.
But
it could just be that she didn't like it. But there is the exact situation that you're talking about that exists.
I mean, for example, like, we talked before, I have a fear of flying. Mm-hmm. If I went on a date where they put me in a tiny, tiny little plane, I would have an anxiety attack. Like, I would not be able to physically do that. And I don't think that that would be a fair thing to do to somebody.
That's
like,
why you weren't on Peter's season.
Exactly. That's the only reason I was really considering. Yeah, I don't know. But I could talk about that till the freaking cows come home. So back to this date. So tantric yoga, Serena's uncomfortable. She participates and, you know, she's a pretty good sport about it, but she's very clear that she's not into it. So afterwards, Matt's like, what do you think? And she's like, not for me, dude. Like,
Matt
not into it. And Matt's like, what? And his eyes like bugged.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I loved it. It was so great. And she's like, I'm not really into PDA or like affection in public. So for me, it was weird to do yoga sex like in front of someone. Like, it was just really weird. And Matt was like, no, it was great. It was so cool. But Matt was weirdly concerned, like, I don't know, she wasn't into it, I'm concerned. Which, to be fair, like, they already, I feel like physical connection wasn't something that they had as strong. So I feel like maybe to him, this was a red flag of like, oh, is that because we don't have the chemistry that makes her comfortable? So then they went to dinner and
they hashed it out a little bit, but like it just, I'm glad. And Matt was glad too, that Serena, you know, spoke up about the fact that she didn't enjoy it. She didn't say, oh, I liked it, blah, blah, blah. And she, you know, she told him the truth and how she actually felt. And I think that's very good for developing any relationship. I do agree that they don't seem necessarily on the same page in like a physical state. And I think that's definitely, that plays a big part in relationships. And I don't know, of the four people who are left, and we'll get to who those four are momentarily, I think she's the least likely to end up with Matt.
I agree. And if anyone's an expert on relationships,
it's got to be me. Evan, it's got to be Evan. Me. Yeah. The reason I choose not to be in any is because I'm such an expert that it just...
It wouldn't seem fair.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, moving on.
Oh, good stuff.
From my expertise.
From his expertise. Serena P gets a rose. Cool. Okay. So the group date... They didn't do anything.
No, it's just like, hey, let's all hang out.
It's like
and
they
talk.
Finally agreed that the group date sucked so bad that they were like, let's just not even try to come up with one.
Yeah,
this
they completely capitulated there.
So they just had like the little group cocktail party thing. So
I think I would say the only really nothing new came from this in terms of like Bree quitting her job. Yes, it's. You know, it's a risk that she did
wild.
That,
yeah,
but she's
wild.
Not the first person to have done that.
No, but I felt like that was really uncomfortable because, like, what do you say if you're Matt? Like, I think he was fine. I think he handled situations pretty well. But, like, if someone that you're, like, that you like is telling you sobbing, like, I literally quit my dream job for you. Like, do you then feel like, well, I better keep her around for this week because that would be pretty shitty if I didn't? Like, do you feel obligated in a sense to, like... to that relationship or to make sure you're giving it extra time or giving it extra thought because you feel bad?
Yeah, I actually wrote down in my notes, pity points, ?
I mean, I think he really likes Bree anyway, but...
Oh, I would too. My God.
No,
she
Bree's fantastic.
Stunning.
She's stunning. And she
and
just
a wonderful
seems
person.
Great, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if that's... I wonder if that's part of it.
Yeah. Kit was planning out her 5-year plan with Matt.
That was weird.
And she was all in momentarily, and then all out.
I was very confused by Kit's progression in this episode. She's, I mean, keep in mind here that Kit is 21. Like, literally, like 21. She is a child. I can't even imagine going on a show like this when I'm 21 years old.
Yeah.
But she's like, just so you know, like, I want to finish school, and I want to get a job, and then marriage and baby. She's like, I don't want to get married and have kids for, like, 5 years at least. So, like, just know that if, like, you're with me, like... the progression is going to be slower and a lot longer of a timeline.
Yeah.
And Matt was like, okay, cool.
Matt.
I'm like,
Matt,
what?
Again, this goes back to my theory that Matt is a 7-year-old trapped in a 29-year-old Greek god's body. Because he just is so go with the flow, doesn't have a plan for tomorrow, is just living for today.
Yeah.
Which I love about him. Like I
do too.
I think he's such a goofy person. And again, we don't see that as much. We see it more... on like his social media accounts or on
he's hilarious.
The blooper
his
parts.
Charcuterie board TikToks
right
are
yeah,
hilarious.
Yeah. So I don't know if he is as like focused in that regard as she is, which I doesn't agree. Mean that they're incompatible. I actually think it's good to have sort of a yin and yang balance between the two.
You had a hard time with that.
I did. I really did. I need to work on that.
Yeah, I agree.
How now, brown cow?
With
how
all
now?
That. And then the other girl, or the other situation, sweet, sweet Abigail.
She saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, she could tell, like, I haven't got a one-on-one date. I haven't got a lot of time with Matt. And she started talking to him and was just kind of like, hey, like, I got my first impression rose early on. But, I mean, I feel like I haven't really gotten a chance with you since then. And he basically admitted, like, I felt so good about our connection right away that I then started focusing on my other connections. And that kind of did a disservice to us. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he sent sweet Abigail home. And she's just such an angel. And I just love her so
much.
Yeah.
And she was definitely one of the most gems of human that we've had on this show. But, again, I just don't think that they were developing, especially at the pace that he was with other people. So, ultimately, well, the the first person he talked to after sending Abigail home was Rachel, which the first thing that said to me was, oh, that's his comfort zone.
I think it's pretty clear at this point that Rachel is who Matt feels strongest about at this moment, where he feels most comfortable with her.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I feel like whenever something like rough is going on or whatever, then he goes to Rachel and it's just like more relaxed. He seems very relaxed around her. They clearly have a good connection.
Now you, and this is not even taking into account the things on the outside.
It's not.
You're annoyed or you don't like Rachel for something on the show. What is that reason?
It's not that I don't like her. It's just that all of a sudden this week, I was like, Rachel's annoying. And I don't know why. I just, this week I'm watching and I guess I think she's a little too smug. I think that's what it is. Like, I think she's a little too confident in her relationship with Matt. Like, I know, granted, like, that's fair because obviously he loves her, but I feel like she's just a little smug. And, like, she's like, yeah, it just, like, sucks when, like, people don't get time while she's, like, holding a rose. And, like, some little comments like that were, like, I don't think she's, like, trying to be a jerk. But, like, I just feel, like, a little bit too smug.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
So I did not pick up on that. And I said this earlier at the beginning, but it was just weird seeing her now knowing what we know and almost wondering, like, is this who Matt ends up with? And how is that going to go?
Yeah, I know. I'm curious. Watch next week and tell me if you, like, pay attention and let me know if you think she's smug.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that a little bit last week, but this week I really felt like she was super smug. And it bothered me because I feel like, granted of the fact that I think he probably picks her, at this point it is literally anyone's relationship could go further than someone else's because it happens so quickly.
Yeah.
And you've seen get down to final four where someone's in a clear lead and they're not the person that ends up with the lead.
Yeah.
So I just think she's a little too smug and it bothered me. And I feel like everyone needs to just be like chilling.
So she gets the group date rose and then she goes off for a little musical performance. And here, drum roll please. Here is where we have the first ever Batch Please, Mask Please crossover episode, because Aloe Black, who
none
we know
other than Mushroom,
has Mushroom from the past season of The Masked Singer, runner up season 3.
Fantastic Mushroom.
And who for the longest time we thought was Leslie Odom Jr.
And I still kind of think it might be Leslie.
That might
Odom
be Leslie
Jr.
under that aloe mask.
But it's Aloe Black, and Evan was watching ahead of me, so he texted me and was like, there is a masked crossover. You're going to know it when you see it. And I'm waiting the whole time. And I'm like, all right, what's going on?
Is it Ken Jeong?
Is it Ken Jeong?
Is it Elizabeth Smart?
Is it Ashley Tisdale?
Which, believe it or not, Elizabeth Smart is in the Masked Universe.
Believe
Check
it or
it out.
Not. And as soon as I see Aloe Black, I was like, Mushroom is here. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I wish, oh my God, what if he would have been dressed as Mushroom? And then, like, a literal crossover and only mask, because, like, he's trying to mask for COVID.
And then Ken Jeong takes Chris Harrison's job. Look, I'm just saying.
And then all of a sudden, it just becomes a Masked Singer dancer show again. And, like, it just morphs.
Really, that's really our dream.
That's really what we want, is for it to be
that's
morphed into one show.
That's what we use this platform for now, is to...
Yeah, that's our new... our new
call for the merging of those shows.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be great.
So, yeah, those two hitting it off. I think Rachel, in terms of power rankings of relationships, I think his relationship with Rachel
for
is
sure.
definitely the top.
For sure.
Michelle's not far behind. I actually don't see... We don't get enough him and Brie time.
No. I don't feel like there's any... I don't feel like it's going to be Brie. I was kind of surprised she...
But I have to think it's more than Serena P, even though we've seen more of those two. This might just be my own bias in that, like, I think Brie is just...
Yeah.
Top notch.
And my top is Michelle.
She's great, too.
Why don't you wait until we actually know who the final four are? Because not everyone's gone home yet.
Oh, that's right. Because people listen to this before watching the episode.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so the next...
But segment. By the way, Kit leaves.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kit, I think she saw... At the moment that Rachel got that rose and they went off for the Mushroom performance...
Right,
the Mushroom. ...is when she was like... It broke her, I think.
Yeah, and Kit went to his room and was basically like, I'm leaving. And he was like, but you're so hot. And she's like, nah, I'm leaving.
Yeah. And good for her. She did the right thing for herself.
And for the fact that she's 21 years old.
And she's still got 5 years before babies are popping out of her, according to her plan.
Which was so funny to me, because when she was talking about that, she was like, yeah, like, I want to wait 5-6 years. And at first I was like, oh my God, that's like, that's a while. I mean, how old is she going to be by then? And then I was like, oh, she's going to be our current age, younger. Yeah.
And let me tell you,
I'm 26.
I couldn't fathom having a child right now.
We don't have children. No. And I was just like, oh shit, she's so young. She's so young.
Okay, the next segment was the Jesenia one-on-one, which this is an Evan date. This is Tokyo Drift,
it's
baby.
It's definitely an Evan date, and I feel like it was so...
Han is back.
I feel like it was so wasted on Jesenia, because at the beginning of the episode, I had already decided I was out on Jesenia because she was being a bully.
I also knew
after
she
was mad that
it.
MJ was a bully, and then she immediately was being a bully, and then she got the one-on-one over Abigail, which I did not like. But the date was actually super cool and like fun.
So rad.
And I'm like, man, that was so wasted on her.
I also think that Matt should never be allowed in a wheeled vehicle, because the ATVs he wrecked.
Oh yeah.
He kept running into shit during the Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And look, he just shouldn't be behind the wheel of anything.
I would agree with that. And then, so that's the date, and they go to dinner, and then Jesenia's like, I'm falling for you. And I think it's pretty obvious that Matt is like super.
That's
not...
a survival tactic.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely. And it's pretty obvious that Matt's not feeling it. So he sends her home. I wasn't very shocked by that.
Yeah.
So we're down to 5 now.
Yep.
And then they have a rose ceremony that they actually did 2 rose ceremonies in 1 episode, which
makes
I feel like
they're not
hurt
doing
us
any for the 4
for
weeks.
The past 4 weeks, right. So in the rose ceremony, it comes down to Piper and Michelle. And granted, I really like Michelle. In this episode, their relationship didn't really get to do anything. So I kind of feel like he was just picking. Like, at the end, between Michelle and Piper, I literally feel like he couldn't decide.
Oh, no. I think he definitely knew.
I think
he is very confident in his relationship with Michelle. I don't think he's worried about anything there. I think it's farther along with Rachel. That's why she ultimately got the rose. But I think she is...
I would have thought
close
that
second.
If it was like last week, I would have thought that, but things changed so quickly from week to week.
Nah.
And he was so randomly into Piper all of a sudden.
I just think he wants to have sex with Piper. Like, I think that's it. I think he is only like sexually attracted. I mean, I think she's a good person too. I think they probably have some sort of personality charisma,
right,
but I think like for him, and this is all based on just running up to her and kissing and making out with her during the interview. I was like, oh, he just really wants to get with her.
He just wants to get on.
Which, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. It's whatever. It's cool.
As we said before, Evan's relationship expert. Any questions, direct them to Evan.
That's the thing I know the least about.
As Evan is not married, it would be inappropriate for him to comment further.
Right. So, we have 4 people left. Hometowns, quote unquote, are next. Can we call these things something different?
Yeah, they're no longer hometowns.
Hometowns.
They're just everyone comes to the resort and
it's parent teacher conference basically without the teacher.
I am confused. I know he says last time on how the quarantining works for hometowns, because like they don't know who gets it.
Yeah.
Yet.
I don't know.
So like after that rose ceremony, did they call their families and say like, okay, come out tomorrow?
It could even be that when they have like the top 5 or even 7, like,
they all come and then that feels a little aggressive though.
You gotta
do
what you gotta
do. Who freaking knows with this show though, honestly?
Okay, so 4 people left. Hometowns next week. What are your predictions? Who makes it to Fantasy Suites?
I think
any family drama? I am for one curious as to how the Rachel family and Matt thing is gonna have just based on what we know.
I don't feel like anything's gonna happen just because I feel like it would have been a bigger deal if it did. Really quick though, in the preview, they apparently go skydiving.
Oh, someone almost dies.
It looks like Rachel literally dies when they're skydiving.
I actually think at some point in our lifetime, if the show is still on,
someone's gonna die.
I actually think someone's gonna die in the show.
I mean, skydiving is a very big risk. Like that's a big deal, and it literally looked like Rachel like hit the ground hard.
Yeah.
Like really hard. So I'm curious what happens with that. Hope she is, I mean, she's obviously alive, but like hope she didn't have any like legitimate broken bones or brain damage or anything, because that is like serious injuries happen. Yeah. Anyway, okay, my prediction is that Serena P will go home after Hometowns. Mm-hmm. Top three will be Brie, Michelle, and Rachel. And then I think Brie will go home after Fantasy Suites if he does a full three-person Fantasy Suite week. And then I think it'll be a Michelle-Rachel finale, which I can see him going either way. As of right now, I'm thinking he'll pick Rachel. But I also feel like Matt will be the guy who goes to Michelle's room and, like, doesn't actually, like, let her come to the full-on, like, engagement setting.
Maybe not, though, because he has this thing. He did that with Yesenia, and he's done it with other people on dates where he grabs the rose and then says, this
You're
isn't
right.
for you.
He does like holding the rose a lot.
So I don't know if that's if they tell him to do that or if that's just his own mishap.
That's fair.
But it happens time and time again. Speaking of things that happen time and time again, we've got roses to give out mm-hmm. for this week. Are mm-hmm. you prepared? Do you have them?
Yeah.
Are they not Schitt's Creek roses?
They're not.
Because I think I made it pretty clear in the outline today. You can't give them out to Schitt's Creek roses, Axl Rose, Amber Rose, or any fictional or real life rose that was not
okay. So
in this
I do
episode.
Have them, but I cheated a little bit.
Okay, you can cheat a tiny bit.
Okay, the cheating is in the fact that my mom gave me ideas for roses.
That's fair, Lisa. Thank you.
She called me earlier to let me know her thoughts, and she gave me some ideas.
All right. Well, what
which
are
I
they?
Agree with. So, first one is the Eeny Meeny Miny Moe rose because as Matt was just sending people home willy nilly, it kind of felt like a couple of the people were kind of randomly chosen to continue.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, "All right, you can say you. All right, you go home."
Okay.
So that's the first one.
So mine is similar. The Thanos rose is going to Matt because he basically, with the 2-hour snap of a finger, got rid of over half of the contestant
cast
population.
That's the right word, yeah.
So
that was pretty similar. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Wow, look at us. You and Lisa really know that.
I mean,
so
Lisa
nothing,
and
it's
I
not
are
me at
basically
all.
One and the same.
And then I really like this one. Blinded by the Light Rose.
Oh.
So I should say who I'm giving this to, who Lisa's giving it to, is all of the women who were bullying Heather, because Heather was just kind of this, like, I mean, she came in, like, angelic looking with her, like, white dress and her, like, beautiful, bubbly, blonde, yeah, white dress, blonde hair, all this. And she came in and they were all immediately, like, flipped a switch to, like, so angry. Mm. And that they were so, like, blinded by their, like, love for Matt that they all immediately transferred it to being, like, hatred towards Heather, which is mean. So, really, their rose is hella thorny because they are mean.
Mm. Okay. So the last one is, we've got to keep calling her by her full name, Rose, Hannah Brown. Every time they mention Hannah in this episode, they have to say her last name. She doesn't have just first name basis anymore.
No.
Or ever. It
Hannah
was,
B. Every
used
now
to be
and
Hannah
then,
B.
But it's
but
really Hannah
now
Brown.
It's just Hannah Brown. Yeah. And, like, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You don't have to change it for us. You don't have to put the little indicator there that it's for her.
Yeah, but no.
We
they
know.
Say Hannah Brown every time.
We get it. She was the Bachelorette, for God's sakes.
She was. She really was.
It's that easy.
You're right.
So, also pretty easy is to follow us on the social medias and to, you know, subscribe, rate, and all that kind of stuff. How do you do that?
What are they?
Oh, boy. See, the hard part is I don't know any of the account names.
And it takes them too long to say it. So, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BatchPleasePod. Or you can send us an email, batchpleasepod@gmail.com. And I want to give a really quick shout out.
Do it. Shout out.
Quick shout out to Lisa Thaird, who is family friend, one of my brother's best friends, Zach. It's his mom. And she listens every week and she always messages me her thoughts. And she always agrees with me.
And does she disagree with me?
From time to time. From
that's
time
fair,
to
that's
time.
Fair. You got to have both sides
from,
of the argument here.
Yes, exactly. But she's a very faithful listener and she's always supporting
another
the pod.
Great Lisa.
Another great Lisa. Yeah, people named Lisa are just welcome always for
what
us.
What if that
in
was our
spot.
Only listenership was
people
named
Lisa? I'm not against it. That's
I'm not
fine.
Against either. We'll make a separate Lisa pod. Lisa, please.
Add to the list. Add to the list.
So we should have, we have Hometowns next week, Fantasy Suites.
Finale.
Finale.
We oh, and a Women Tell All at some point.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We so might have a
weeks.
Fun little thing planned. In the coming weeks, we're figuring that out on our end, but I think it'll be fun for you guys.
Yeah.
It'll be fun for us.
We love fun.
It'll be fun for everybody.
We love fun. So another 3 or 4 weeks, and then And let also there should be the fun. And then we won't have any fun. There should be a Bachelorette announcement here pretty soon as well, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm thirsty for Katie Thurston.
For Katie. Evan only cares about Katie.
Right. Again, remember, if she is the Bachelorette, everyone, all you Lisas out there, you need to nominate me on my behalf.
We got it.
Thank you.
The Lisas and the non-Lisas are on the case.
All right.
All right, thanks for listening, and we will see you for home.